bring you grace and peace from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What has changed in this whole story? On the one hand, we see the disciples cowering in fear, and then on the other hand, we see them coming out boldly to stand and preach the word. You know, I've seen this change take place. Maybe not quite so extreme, but I go to a group each week called Toastmasters, where we work on public speaking and communication skills. It's a club that I meet every Friday. And I've watched people cower behind the podium. You know the feeling when you have to give some sort of public presentation or talk in front of people and you get all sweaty and scared. And I've watched as people cower behind the podium, clutching to it, afraid to step out and really speak. But as these people develop, as the months go by and they practice and they get used to it, you'll see the same people all of a sudden stepping out boldly to stand in the middle of the room with no notes or anything and just talk. It's quite a change to see take place. This is an even bigger change, of course. What the disciples are experiencing is on a much bigger scale. What has changed between what we read in the gospel reading and what we're about to read from the book of Acts? They're no longer cowering, but they're standing tall. They've seen the risen Lord. They've touched and been touched. And all of a sudden, they've become witnesses to the resurrection. And something's changed. We read from Acts chapter 5. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them because the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought out the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. And a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, that is jealousy, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they had heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, "Indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." This is God's word spoken for you, we pray. Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. There are two ways that the witness lives on among the apostles. The one is the signs and wonders, and the other is the word and testimony. And we're going to take a look at this today. These two ways that the witness of the risen Lord will not be bound. We're quite used to the laws of nature. We're used to things we're familiar with. We have expectations that what goes up must come down. But all of a sudden, there's something unexpected going on here among the apostles. The laws of nature are somehow no longer hindering what they're trying to accomplish, or more so what God is trying to accomplish. It's unusual. We've got here the apostles, and we should recognize who the apostles are. So there are 12 apostles. There was one lost when Judas betrayed Jesus, and then they gained him back in the book of Acts and replaced him. So there's 12 apostles, and they're given a special place in the work of God's kingdom. They're called witnesses of the resurrection, which means that they've actually seen the risen Lord with their own eyes, and they are now the witnesses, those who can testify that he is actually living. And furthermore, they're witnesses by the power they have that Jesus has given them. He's given them his power, his mighty works that testify to his living presence in this world. So we see their signs and wonders that they're performing. This was said to happen in Acts chapter 2. If you back up in Acts and you read the account of Pentecost, you find out that the pouring out of the Holy Spirit was prophesied by Joel a long time ago, a prophet named Joel. And he said of how, and God said through the prophet, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Wonders and signs. It is an indication that Jesus now has come, he's fulfilled everything he's come to do, and now God is performing these signs and wonders, signs in heaven, wonders in the earth, in order to testify to a new age, a new era that's come to the world. It's as if the end times are suddenly upon us. Things that we would never expect to be possible are happening, and they begin with Jesus' ministry, and they continue through the apostles as a special ministry of our Lord. So we see God is not going to be bound. But the Jewish leaders don't believe this. They see something unusual happening, and they try to control it, try to make sense of it. We have the high priests and the Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees didn't believe in miracles. They didn't believe in that there was a resurrection at all. They were kind of like what we would know as rationalists. They don't believe in the supernatural like that. So when there's these miracles going on, they're trying to figure out how they can explain this away and how they can keep the people to still follow their theology. But there's no denying what's happening. You see, they try to control God. They try to lock him up by putting the apostles in prison as if that's going to somehow stop God. Do you ever find yourself in that situation where you're trying to control God? You're trying to make sense of how your life is going to go? Sometimes we do this when we get afraid that things are getting a little out of control. When we're afraid our life is not going the way it's supposed to, we try to make sure we're safe. We have all our finances in order. We have our employment, our future, our retirement. It's all taken care of. But once in a while, things come into our life that all of a sudden show us we're not really in control. And it gets a little scary. But look at what's happened to the apostles. They've been cowering at one point, cowering behind closed doors, and all of a sudden, God is breaking them free. God will not be controlled. They do these signs, these wonders, where they're healing people, they're casting out evil spirits from people, showing that the risen Lord and his witness is not going to be bound. That Jesus, as a resurrected human being, is no longer bound by the laws of nature, even though he wasn't as God either in his ministry on earth. So it's a testimony, it's a witness, that the witness of the resurrection cannot be hindered by locked doors. Even when they're put in prison, God won't let that stop it. An angel comes and visits them, brings them out, so that they can go into the temple and they can proclaim the truth of God's word. It's encouragement for you to step out from behind the podium, to recognize God's got things under control, to see that God has done an even greater wonder, an even greater miracle in your life, and that is freeing you from the bonds of sin. The resurrection of Jesus proves that God has freed you from your sins. How much more confident can we be every day that God has things in order and he's going to care for us? He's going to protect us. This is the living witness. You know, I've seen fear in people's eyes before, especially when it comes to public speaking. If you've ever seen that look on somebody's face, one of the things we do in Toastmasters is we do table topics. And what table topics is you need to get up in front of the group for 2 minutes, and you're given a random impromptu topic, and you have to just speak on it for 2 minutes. And you might not think 2 minutes is a long time, but when you see people get up and they're trying to keep people engaged for that long, you start to see the fear that can creep into people's thinking, where they're not even thinking about what they're trying to say, but more so, what am I doing up here, and why is everybody staring at me? This is what it means to have that fear. But how much more does this hinder us when it comes to talking about Jesus?